members, and good morning to the higher education family. That is, we include all of you. welcome to the Portfolio Committee on Higher Education and Training, of which we'll be dealing with after we've done any apologies, we will be dealing with a briefing that we will receive on higher education and training and the development with regards to the TRIT and the community education and training. We are mindful of the fact that we dealt with you a little bit when we had you before us when we did the CETAS. You will obviously elaborate a little bit, give us a little bit more detail in this presentation. That's the only briefing that we will receive, honourable members, and thereafter the committee will deal with its own in-house matters, which the department is happy to leave at that point, when we deal with minutes and the rest of the agenda as is stipulated here. May I ask if we can proceed on that basis with the acceptance of that agenda. That being the case, any apologies?
Thank you, Chair. I received an approach from Professor Schumann. We also received an approach from CDN. We also received approaches from the Minister of Education.
Minister Schumann was not in, it's not quite an apology, but nevertheless. With the acceptance of those apologies, Honorable Mbatha, apologies. Set it there on any other apologies and we will proceed then with the agenda as is. May I hand over Director General and the rest of the team.
Thank you very much, Chair and Honourable Member, my colleagues from the department and the ministry as well. If my understanding is correct, we are here today to present on the latest development in the technical vocational education and training sector. There was an indication as well that we need to present the community education and training policy as well, of which we have made that provision. It's so required by the portfolio committee. In respect to the red line, where we are in this sector, we used to be vocational and continuing education and training. That is the sector, which was split into two in sectors with effect from e-graduate, which resulted in technical and vocational education and training sectors, where Mr. Akhen was appointed as Deputy Director General for Program 4 and Community Education and Training Centers, whereupon Dr. Pigmato was appointed as Deputy Director General for Program 6. Now, as a department, out of the 12 outcomes of that in respect to government is we are responsible for outcome 5 out of 12, which is a skilled and capable workforce to support and increasing growth path that we are responsible for as a Department of Higher Education and Training, with 5 outputs standard outcomes for which output 1 is the establishment of a credible institutional mechanism for ill planning, which is currently unfolding. The second output is an increase increased access to programs leading to intermediate and high-level learning. Third output is increased access to educational directed programs in either scale and thereby expand the ability of intermediate level students with a special focus on academic skills. The members would be recalled that training a specialist in the remit of special education and training authorities was nearly kept at from N to F level 1 to 3, of which with the introduction of National Skills Development Strategy 4, we reduced that and emphasized and directed training at intermediate level across the 50 by and large, where we have dedicated resources and time for training technicians, academics, as well as technology in the future. Output 4 is to increase access to high-level occupational therapeutic programs in middle areas. Output 5 is the research, development and innovation in human capital for growing knowledge and economy. Those are high-level mainly produced at our university. Now, we get to the question of the private funding issues. But in respect to this matter, we are operating really on a shoestring budget allocation across the system and including in this sector. And an upfront appeal we would like to make to the country, to the government as well, who are always pressurized to increase access, which is quite important to you. But increasing access requires additional funding. I know members, they do on occasion times slight visits, and they come across quite a number of problems. And the response normally in respect to those requests, which are of course genuine, would be that these things must be fine. But the challenge that we are confronted with is that at that point, the money is to fund those areas of responsibility that extent has never been made available or voted by Parliament or made available in any government positions. I think it's a matter that perhaps we need to relook as to how to lead and engage politics. Then there are more things that are needed for funding. Yes, the money is for funding. Those aspects haven't been made available because calling for funding knowing that it's not available is causing a lot of damage and disadvantage in the system. So our appeal is that we need to find a way of managing this service, that's a crucial matter. Because if we increase access, for instance, in the civil sector, markers increase. That has been employed at Venom in Twitter where printing volumes, stationery which is required, infrastructure that has to be put up, tests that are needed, lecture classes as well, because we need more lessons, we need more support staff. All these impact in the end of the day at the college in the system. But I will hand over to is not important to take up to this important aspect. So we are in the presentation.
Have you seen honorable members? our thinking funding, look at something at the underfunded of state subsidy and university allocation, which means that the financial and social features of colleges are diminished due to the fact that subsidies only cover 54% of the required cost instead of 80% of subsidy funding. Student unrest in a number of colleges with damaged property in some instances and loss of tuition time due to this. Interest, tuition, allocation, travel and accommodation allowances are also overstretched. Insufficient learning and teaching material and equipment, and consequent insufficient provision of particular clothing. The Treasury allocation for the 2017-18 NPX is likely to remain the same or even be reduced in real terms. In addition to fee increases, students are also raising issues about curriculum relevance, which will be addressed a little later. But if you look at the funding and enrollment plan, targets for enrollments will be based on available funding. The targets disaggregated to headcount as per qualification type are as follows: occupational, 45,787, report 191 NCD college funders, 257,321 students, and then those that are funded by the voters fund, the sisters, report 191 NCD students, totaling 437,427, which brings the target to 710,505 students. The total natural skills fund has made 2.3 billion available to cover occupational qualifications for 3 years. 43 of our post-covering colleges have finalized their allocations, while 7 are in process of signing MOAs. There are 7 that are in process. That is Mahuti, Sage, Mareki, Goldfields, Kingway, Majuba, Salesa, and West Com. NSF has also been requested to ensure colleges receive full program funding for occupational programs. Arrangements are being made in Treasury so that the fiscal compensation budgets of senior colleges can be converted to transfers if the understanding by the Department of the College Compensation Budget. Cabinet memorandum and Treasury bids on the underfunding of Europe's fee increase have also been tabled. For the 2017-18 period, the funding shortfall amounts to 12 billion, which is made up as follows. If there's a 0% fee increase, it will be 186 million. Fee-led subsidies and compensation, 5.5 billion. This is in your NSF, 2.7 billion. And DHCT goods and services, 3.4 billion, which then amounts to the 12 billion. In terms of financial and HR coordination and support, the TJ College CSO project advisor has been extended until 30 June 2017. This will ensure that chartered accountants are still employed at TJ colleges without an incumbent chief financial officer. The department is in the process of finalizing the job training process for CFO positions at TJ colleges, known as the Deputy Principal Finance, and recruitment will begin at the start of 2017. The June 29 standardized financial policies have been delivered by the department at Baker. These policies have been recommended to TJ College Councils for consideration adoption. Human resource units have also been appointed to colleges who require that support. The preliminary audited general audit outcomes for 2015 are confirming the need for intensified support and monitoring and evaluation to their colleges. Further about human resource management, audit findings of the audit general pertaining to compensation of employee compliance matters in TV colleges include employees without proof to perform additional remunerative work, additional examination leave days granted to officials, personnel files transferred from provincial departments of education and colleges to the departments with empty or incomplete or missing documentation, pay progression was paid without supporting documentation. These legacy issues emanating from the function shift have impacted on findings of the department, and a process has been put in place to address the auditor general findings at TVEC College level. With respect to financial aid, our responsibility of the department to facilitate student access to TVEC colleges through effective administration and management of the departmental TVEC college bursary scheme, $2.3 billion was allocated for 2016 and is intended to benefit a total of 200,000 TVEC college students. Today, bursary has been awarded to 171,452 students for this academic year. Colleges are also finalizing their plans for the final financial of the 2016 academic year for Medicare programs, which will see that number increase. In terms of student support services, annual plan, this plan is intended to provide a holistic support to peer college students at pre-entry, hot course, and exit levels. Historically, much attention was placed on financial aid. This support now includes, amongst others, assistance with these program choice, access to financial aid, orientation to college, academic support, extracurricular activities, and workplace integrated learning, amongst others. In terms of the interventions that have taken place, women in student leadership training has been provided to women in FRC, the student representative council, the TV colleges. The platform is named on critical issues affecting them as women leaders and to strengthen their capacity to occupy positions in student leadership. The TV College Month Initiative aimed at providing colleges with a platform from which to promote the vocational and short skills program offerings to communities which the colleges serve, starting scholars in high schools and needs. National debate for TV College students was also convened to facilitate dialogue, critical conversations, and instill confidence in public speaking, as well as spark interest in reading and research. Regional Student Representative Council capacity building was also helped to enhance the understanding of student leadership in regards to important policies governing the administration of the bursary scheme and examinations. With regard to infrastructure development, the colleges may spend at least 10% of their non-personnel allocations on maintenance. However, due to the unfunding of colleges, colleges are unable to prioritize maintenance in their system. The Southern Lindsay campus of Waterloo College was handed over and operational since May 2016. Bambambani and Nkamba A campuses will be completed by the end of 2016. 13 additional campus sites have gone out on tender, and this has been received and are in the process of being evaluated. The citizens and construction teachers respectively have assisted in funding the operational costs of Southern Lindsay, which includes equipment and other related requirements. The NSF has also been approached to make funds available for urgent physical facilities maintenance at colleges under severe financial stress. With regards to capacity building of campus measures, as part of the Ministerial Turnaround Strategy, the department is focusing on strengthening capacity with our campus managers by using in-house care practice. Capacitation includes the capacitation of four young graduates and project staff on this project. Central to this project is the building of community of practice. Phase 1 has begun and involves intensive residential training and individualized support of 40 campuses of the most challenging types of delivery. The focus for the next of this cohort has been on rural locations and performance. Continuing with phase 1, 32 college managers supported in conceptualizing and developing 9 modules together with support materials. Managers were identified by good practice and years of experience in the sector to provide the support to develop this material. Campus improvement plans were developed and monitored and supported by regional officials who themselves are in the process of being further. Phase 2, 150 campus managers training, and the modules that have been used in the training will be consolidated towards the development of a campus manager qualification. For phase 3, it is our intention that all campus managers will be trained going forward. Teaching and learning support plans, all peer colleges are required to complete and implement the requirements as set out in the teaching and learning support plans. These plans form part of the major departmental strategic outputs in order to deliver quality teaching and learning. They set out the requirements and standards that enable colleges and campuses to deliver curriculum without hindrance. There are instruments which colleges must better and track the consumer activities and responsibilities required to improve the quality of curriculum delivery with the ultimate intention of improving student success. This plan therefore places planning at the core of curriculum delivery, supported strongly by activities, planning outputs to ensure that core deliverables for quality teaching and learning are firmly in place for all students, all learning programs, and at all types of learning delivery in a college. The areas that are currently in these plans include enrollment preparation, which is your program, your PQN, your timetabling, infrastructure needs, etc., Your classroom teaching and support, which will include year plans, schedules, lesson plans, student practical education for on-course learning, that will include textbooks, consumables, lecture capabilities, student assessment, online and continuous, look at the quality of continuous assessment of student academic support, the issue of attendance, student interest and library provisioning, lecturer support and capacity building. Then we have lecture support, in-house training, and finally work placement for both students and lecturers, which is part of the work integrated learning implementation sector. In terms of capacity building of lecturers, comprehensive work plans are being developed for the skills development of college lecturers. This is being done in conjunction with ECETA and Dover. EU funding has been made available to the tune of €26 million for the capacitating of universities to offer lecturer qualifications. The project is managed by the university branch in the department. The University of the Western Cape will offer a postgraduate diploma in technical and vocational education in 2017. In terms of curriculum reform, Umulusi is in the final stages of the NCD review as requested by the Minister. It is expected that this work will be completed by the end of this year. The important component of the curriculum redesign is fostering the dual system, which has a practical bias. The QCO has undertaken a comprehensive review of native programs. The M4 to M6 programs will be reformulated into occupational programs, while the M4 to M6 business programs will be completed by the end of 2018. The engineering studies will follow thereafter. The dual system project is progressing well. The first group of 100 electrical learners have already commenced. Further on lecture development, lecture gap analysis or profiling with skills audits has been conducted and aligned to a development plan. The ongoing lecture development, more than 6,000 TVET College lecturers registered on the LSS web portal for support. And this course focuses amongst others on lesson planning, pedagogical methods and practices, content, disciplinary knowledge, introduction of renewable energy technologies at selected colleges supported by GEMS, and the introduction of wholesale and retail subjects also at selected colleges. Regarding work integrated learning and work readiness, guidebooks, the development of the World's Guidebook in collaboration with the Swiss South African Cooperation Initiative has been concluded. The World Guidebook is intended to provide workplace exposure for students in relevant industries to enable them to participate productively in the economy. Training on the practical implementation of the World Guidebook is in progress. There's also been the development of a Work Readiness Guidebook. The Work Readiness Guidebook is intended to equip students with the necessary skills and prepare them for the world of work. Regarding examinations and assessments, the NCE Certificate Black Box Project Progress Base is 733 certificate records affecting 621 students have yet to be processed due to missing data on these records. Examination officials are following up with examination centres to source this missing information, which could include an ID number or a surname. The private service provider has been appointed to develop the new integrated examination ID system. It will be based on a web-based technology. It is a three-year project, which will see the development and implementation of the modules in a modular fashion as they are completed and tested, and the resulting certification modules have been prioritized for development. The overall expenditure increases annually as enrollment numbers increase, and this is related specifically to the increasing copies of question papers to be provided and the increasing number of answer scripts to be marked for examination cycle. Regional officials have been inducted and involved in the monitoring of assessment practices and national examinations at site level. The review of the examinations regime has been initiated. Quality councils are in support of concentrating efforts on two exit levels instead of all levels of qualification as currently done. For example, entity level 2 and 3 are currently treated as exits, and in some of the reviews complete only level 4 will be treated as exits. The review of conduct policy is in process to match the review of the NCD qualifications policy. Furthermore, regional officers for the CEC sector have also been inducted and involved in the monitoring of assessment practices and national examinations at site level. The draft conduct policies for the JCA and the NASA, which are both CEC qualifications, they have been developed. and our agreement for the PET executive's take and process further. Also, implementation protocols for the provincial education departments that we entered into for a 2-year period with effect from 01 April 2015, and while the sponsorship process are in the process of being extended for a further 5-year period, which means that provincial exam units continue to manage and administer the conduct of the current GEC ABET Level 4 examinations in June and November for academic year on an agency basis. The GACT does not currently produce the funding and other resources required to deliver national examinations to Swaziland for the 3,000 plus community learning centres inherited in the functionship process. With respect to planning and monitoring, on Saturday 3rd September 2015, a comprehensive workshop was held with all college principals and council chairpersons to share with them the strategic planning centre, the process for council, to finalise the strategic planning by November 2016 for approval by the Minister. This will be the third time that Council takes lead in the development of strategic plan. The key message was that the principal was accountable for target set based on the funds appropriated from Parliament. The appropriated funds have been supplemented by other sources such as teacher, NSF, fees and other streams of income. The Council also has set targets and monitors the performance indicators based on these non-appropriated sources. With regard to governance and management, the Minister and Department have closed interactions with the TVEC College Governing Council, the South African College Principals Organization, the South African First Education and Training Students Association. These are all important stakeholders and role players for clarifying our decisions, policies, legislation, guidelines, services and consultations. They also provide a forum to enable misunderstandings and grievances. With respect to the TVEC CDC, the issue is the role of the council versus the principal, the department and the minister effectively. With respect to SAPCO, the issue of financial pressures and the job rating of principals. And with that sector, the issues of student bursaries and allowances as well as curriculum relevance. Some emerging thoughts of the sector which are subject to further consideration are the NCD curriculum which is pitched too high for NCA Level 4. It needs to be reviewed and at least 70% of content should be practical and work-based. The level should be adjusted to NCA 5 or 6. You should also look at qualifying learners with augmented work-based learning without the need for work placement. In other words, you need to invest in workshops, work-based simulation and augmented reality. Lecture and non-theoretical training also is needed to be work-based. Assessment and examinations are to be devolved to colleges as we begin to build a capacity, including that of college academic books. That is the conclusion of the presentation of the civic sector.
Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chair. So that part was done. Then we rely on your guidance. That's where discussions are open for children policies or incorporate to community education and training. And that's discussions at the end.
Maybe we should just stop here and allow engagement. Before I open up, can you clarify on the slide 6, what is it, millions or billions?
In terms of the 0% fee increase, that will be 186 million.
The TV subsidies would be 5.5 billion. Ah, okay. Because you said it the other way around earlier on. Okay. Honourable members? There are no questions. Let's go to next. Oh, great. Honourable Kitana, Honourable Kassim, Bada, and I'm at the other hand. On
I think maybe I missed it, but can you give us an idea how many students will graduate from TVET each year, like 50 birthdays, 10 last year? but the first one, when we spoke about expenditure that we are underfunded and we gave a breakdown, someone is not about clothing, clothing by clothes. For you can, because I found it interesting that some people are about clothing and for what purpose.
I just want to discuss with Ashley's primary scenes. And in fact, we'd like to have a little bit more detail in the information that's given. So, for example, of the students that are funded, what is the success rate of those students, number one? And then, as far as the 2.7 billion rand underfunding is concerned, how many students exactly are underfunded? What is the amount of students that are excluded because of this level of underfunding? And then the effect of the subsidy. Because the level should be at 80% and currently it's just at 54%. So what effect does this have on the type of support that students will get? Because the institutions would then have to make up that difference. And that would then increase the cost to master, should it increase the cost to private paying students as well. What exactly is that effect? And as far as allowances are concerned, what is the actual effect? I mean, it's mentioned there that you know there's effect because of underfunding and that the amount of space for transport and for meals, etc., and for books. But what is the actual effect? So for example, there's a percentage of students that can be funded, that qualify as for the national bursary regulation, which in itself is very restrictive because it says if you stay more than 10 kilometers, you're not eligible for a transport allowance. And if you stay about 70 kilometers, I think it is, or below 70, I think 70 kilometers are eligible for accommodation. But even with those restrictive measures, how many students that are eligible are not being funded the different categories of allowance because of this restriction of funds? Or how many students are pathfinders in this regard? And just to add to that, so in terms of accommodation payments, because we've noted that you know, there's certain changes that have been made for a certain number of students, 170,000 odd students. But when we look at what is actually happening in the administration of these funds from at college level, is that some students go the entire year, or a significant portion of the year, up until today as well, without receiving a transport allowance, without receiving their accommodation payments. And the effect that this has is that even if money is made available, it then goes into some sort of back hole because those students end up failing, not able to attend classes, not able to have anywhere to stay, and therefore they drop out because the money is just coming too late. And it seems as if we're just wasting money in the process. So I'd like to get a comment from that. My next question, Chairperson, as it relates to student accommodation. There are courses, and I know I raised one of them, for example, with the DG previously. And the example was a course which is public health, which is run at selected institutions and campuses across the country. And from the information that I received from the DG was that this was a course that was requested by the Department of Health. But those students now seem to be in limbo. In fact, there was protest at the DPAR campus of the Cape and Lewis College, if you can will, where these students, I mean, some of them were graduates of the course now recently or will be soon completing it, do not have a route to move into. Because we've also engaged with some of the universities in the area. They either don't know about this course or do not recognize this course where students will then go, for example, into studying nursing or other related health courses,
The Department of Health, which is quite strange because as far as I'm aware of the patients goes, the hospitals are not recognized, some hospitals are not recognizing this qualification for students to then take work opportunities. So this is one example, perhaps we can comment on this, but what work is being done by departments, working together with other departments that are relevant to the courses that are being run to ensure that students are able to have some value to the courses that they're studying and not just wasting money on courses for students to graduate with certificates that do not have the value either to get in other institutions or so that they can further develop their skills or to gain employment intentions within the public sector. And then my last question for now.
Let's see on the board because there are other members that want to go. Let's give them an opportunity.
As the department continues to present that halfway through the exam, there has to be an acknowledgement that to spread the system far and nationwide, in particular to address the role strategies way to make access with better provision. One of the ways in the system that was described to describe like this one is to maybe rationalize excellence. Meaning, we are currently at the country going through tough times as a result of your bad government. Maybe in order not to disenfranchise the rural poor and the general rural poverty, the system has to work itself into what you call programs that we seem to have some relevance and popularity in certain rural settings. Invest in those programs. Generate consciousness and love and inner expectations in those programs. That attracts the ability of the industry to further invest, get involved, sponsor and assist those rural colleges financially in itself. As I understand in your dealings with the stroke amounts provided by Parliament and amounts supported and amounts coming from your international needs and private sector, I think together that you are going to run into quality issues. And quality issues have to do with what we are trying to do with the living that you have. The fact that we are telling us today that there might not even be an increase in the substantial amount going forward, or what you would term in real terms, it means that the system will have to be shrinked strategically. While you spread access, it means you still use the same policies of access, but you shrink the programs in such a way that you become focused. You become qualified as a result, you bring in more players as a result of that interest. Because if you don't do that, then it means you are not cautious about the consequences of the products and the effects that those products will have in the industry. It means we are not also conscious about the perceptions of the inner about the product that we are actually delivering. That's how you run a system that is designed to move forward, that moves forward for time in steps and moves backward seven times in the same situation. Now, I seem to get that apart from everything else in academic that is saying you are supporting, our students in some of those environments are deeply affected by social economy, meaning the environment presented vis-a-vis the college life. Now, we are begging to even understand the amount of those students that you are providing. I'm begging to even understand the kind of support system they have, qualification, in order for them to go through a program currently and play their graduates. You need to tighten the manner in which you advise principals and candidates on certain socio-economic conditions, such as, for instance, the accommodation design of these colleges and the accommodation offering. You can no longer delay that because there is a suspicion that if you do not invest in knowledgeable know-how on how to resolve the problem, you will not be visited by valuable vendors who are going to offer these colleges and these cadres magic and miracles, which will turn the tide upside down. My last comment here is, we need to arrest the price. I need to know, as a lawmaker, how much it takes in total form, both for an unaffording student and an affording student, in real terms, what is the price achieved? And that price must be truly legitimate. It must not be generated according to geography and according to some imaginable scale of existence. For instance, Kitan versus Bambana. These are the things if you don't address, the entire sector will develop apart and you will end up with runaway prices with a state that is not affording, which is even worse, which has no political commitment to offer free education.
And the following hands are Honorable Sajoli. I note your hand. Any other hands?
Thank you, Chair. This is really a critical presentation. Because what you have is 700,000 students in colleges. We really need to be about 2 million in colleges so that the college sector is bigger than the university sector, which is a situation as the department has often pointed out in most middle income countries. And yet we can't even support 700,000. I just wondered what the long-term plan is there for these colleges in the light of such a difficulty. We don't, if the department is giving up on its vision of the sector becoming bigger than the university sector, doesn't have an alternative plan, because I don't think things should continue as they are, with the colleges being underfunded, student protests, right, no maintenance budget, inadequate money for students, some no infrastructure money. I think some emergency plan needs to be presented to this committee as to what's going to be done about the college sector over the next 5 to 10 years, because this cannot continue like this. Continue with the kind of mediocrity we're beginning to see set in. And please to the Treasury to please yes to the plea of the Department, especially less money next year than this year. It needs to be made clear to the President that the target for national target as you're supposed to be meeting cannot be met. Those national targets need to be changed. Because at the time of the conflict, expectation, striving to meet targets, fit for it nationally, that it cannot meet for a delivery agreement, delivery agreement 3, increase access to higher level occupation during the program in the area. This cannot be done while I just got shaken. So at what point is the farmer going to request or demand that its agreed targets change? Because we cannot accept the situation as it is.
Honourable Simon, we noted you as absent, but we will change that. But please proceed.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. The report that has been presented to the public is on the first page. Especially if one considers very closely the slide on testing funding issues. One wonders whether this sector is going to be viable with the kinds of deficiencies that those listed in that slide. In fact, it makes one think that the past is on a tumble. In fact, in the slide, it says that there are policies which are already affected by student unrest. And we can't sit here and just bemoan the situation. Something radical has to be done. I don't know what it is, but it has to. Maybe we will need to invite the minister to address the portfolio committee on this situation because it's just not workable. I think it is because the PC committee and the PC are mandated to assist departments with budgeting. We can grow in our roads with the departments, but that does not mean that that kind of pressure will then generate funds in the treasury, in the treasury state. This is only in the key of what we do. There is also a problem in this slide. We students expressing the view that the curricula are not relevant. That is another humble. We are already inundated with complaints from many of our graduates who are unemployed. Therefore, it really would be unfair to the economy of this country if we could continue producing technicians and artisans who are irrelevant, who are unemployed. So maybe when the department is holding its strategic planning, maybe this issue should also be invited to see what can be done, because really they are screaming out for help. Everything was saying they must be very frustrated, lecturers are very frustrated, students and this particular frustrated administrators in this lecture. It quietens me when the presentation says that the funds or the budget for SPMA is reduced. It's frightens me. This is a threat of fear which this country needs more than we need. Throughout the world, you find that there is more need for Africans and technicians than it is for treatment. Railways are essential in the upper echelon of institutions, especially at policy level. But when it really comes to the work on the ground, you need more technicians. Even teachers, even nurses should be taken away from it. Because that is the reason why our universities are so expensive. They've taken over the work which belongs to college, unless they are open university colleges themselves. But to take these people to universities is just unaffordable, because a university is extremely expensive. In South Africa, to an ordinary person, they have become unaffordable. And therefore, the elite colleges were going to assist in lowering the demand, financial demand at the university level. But it seems, as you said, they simply cannot fly. So, this is why I say I find the presentation very disconcerting. But at the same time, I'm appreciative to know exactly what is happening out there. Sometimes I'm taken by surprise when students take to the streets, they burn and they break. You just wonder what is going wrong. But in this presentation, there are all the answers that we really do not have a method for stability in this sector.
Before I allow your honourable and maybe welcome the group that we have in the gallery. They are called the Lenyenye Pensioners. Welcome to the Committee on Higher Education. Honourable very much, Honorable Mutunin. May I just add the following, Didi? The first one in your answer, can you help us to this aggregate for the funding. So that only means as you transform and as you integrate and as you roll out, there are some functions that are key for the department to make sure that that happens, and that is the education of the South African child. Now, within that, is it not true that you are burdened with other finances that are within that equation? For example, when I say you must disaggregate, I think you would help us to say that within the PICC, your case has been made or not, which then says your funding toward infrastructure are either being borne by that bigger funding or it is expected of you to put the bow on all of that. And I can unpack all the other different things which take you further away from your main goal that you would want to achieve. Hence my question, can you help us to disaggregate? Because then we would know that our conversation would go further than just a vicinity in relation to funding. I think it is important for the committee not to seep into depression about it, but to find out what are the different modalities that we have to pinpoint ourselves to say that the system is workable or it is not workable in the form that it is at the present moment. But then it will help you also to tell us, as you talk about the funding, there are targets that have been set from 2014, 2025, 2030, your NDP and so on. What you are raising for us today in this presentation, does that take you very far away from not having, you are not going to be able to meet these targets, or at the moment you are on course? And my third and last one is, look, we must find out whether the, I remember in one of your presentations, there was one section you spoke about quite a bit about your policy formulations. Now, do we think that on policy, on the policy formulations which you said that were still outstanding, whether this is not hampering the entire path towards funding being made available for all the different things that you would require. So if you can assist with that, so that I think the committee can then take a holistic view on whether we should consider that the department comes before us on a quarterly basis to see what progress are being made in this area. Did you end the
case? No, thank you very much. Perhaps let me start by saying, in respect to the plan that we need on the long term, we have developed a white paper on good school education and training service. Which is talking on the question of access and success in the entire and began then to categorize each and every question. Now, one of the areas that has been identified in respect to Tibet Kurdish sector is the question of access to requirements. The question of curriculum reform and the requisite funding there. Now, what then we're done in fact, we are currently working on the white paper implementation plan, health department. There's a task team working on that. That exercise should be done by March. And also concurrently, we are working
as to whether at that point the lotus does not require food to make a relative or not, then that's a separate matter. But we are currently calling out that exercise. Secondly, we are reviewing the funding notes for the Tibet colleagues there. Because we think the funding norms that is there are not quite adequate in responding to the needs of the sector. For instance, infrastructure has never been budgeted in the allocation of cheaper goods, either for maintenance or building new infrastructure. It doesn't exist. It's only for programs, material approved programs, that funding may have added two subsidies, that is 80%, and the other portion of 20% will be collected from fees. So it is on those basis that we are reviewing the funding formula for the entire sector amount of needs. Now, as a department, we receive voted funds that are given to us from the national administration. But we had to improvise in a number of respects. First, how do we complement the shortage of funds from the voter fund? And then the question of national skills fund has come to pass. Actually assist. If I can make an example, for the past medium term, established a framework, NEPA, to build capacity in Tibet College, allocated 2.5 million. And they've done again for the next 3 years going forward. The infrastructure in respect to shifting Tibet College funded from National Peace Fund, 1.5 million, and from Tibet as well, that have put in 1 billion. And there are also other ongoing requirements. And the operational cost in respect to the three chambers, Tabazindi and the pool, that are hung up quite true. The budget of about 300 million has been sourced from National Kids Fund to close that gap in the meantime, because the demand is quite huge. And I think in the presentation we also indicated what the specific data and construction data are contributing in terms of equipment, facilities, and other relevant requirements in to make and keep it functional. The other area we see honorable member of the and honorable member of the one is that the design and the architecture of technical and vocational education can change from the beginning. Feminist is from the proximity, of these institutions, the community within which they are located. That is the design, architectural design. And we are having 50 children colleges in the country with about 255 campuses, and we are keeping on. And so the question of proximity is quite important to acknowledge. Which then, the nature and the form of student housing in respect to Tibet College would take a slightly different form as it applies to university. Because universities are quite few and they just exist on a national scale. And they are located in some parts of the country. So they can't do without at least 80% accommodation is not the requirement. Now, we have student housing distribution. With a view of responding to the challenges of student accommodation infrastructure in both civil countries as well as university towns. And it's preceded by the feasibility study which is being conducted by transversal advisors, two funds that we got from each. It's a European fund which is administered by CDS. They have taken about 6 institutions, these 4 universities, and 2 tier colleges. And that is the research that is going on. It should be finished in 6 months. With targeted all out of student accommodation across the university in the next 18 months, we'll be making available new additional bed of about 15,000, both in civil services as well as in universities. Currently, at college level, it's only about 10,000 students that are housed in civil colleges accommodation, which translates into about 1.4 bedrooms. So there is a potential need in bed for student housing, in as much as the architectural design is mainly for proximity to community. So we are dealing with that way at the present moment. Now, the other area in respect to the academic architects and the need thereof, we have identified this a bit long time ago, I think about 3 years ago. And we have developed a program in collaboration with our university, both traditional, comprehensive, as well as universities, to develop a program of training and development. Technical vocational education and training colleges, of which 10 universities will be rolling out of this program by creating a team. At the present moment, it's UWC, which is going on next year with first end project. Of course, that is more medium to long term. And in the immediate, there are development programs that are taking place to respond to the present challenge that defines their kind. Perhaps another point is this one of primary health care programs. This program was developed at the request of the Department of Health, and we developed this in collaboration or with the support of the University of and currently offers in about 18 colleges that in the country. I think students that are due for completion in academic is about 1,500. I think around. So the Minister of Higher Education Training had a first with the Minister of Health in his first discussion and work out the plans for that studies. And there are also engagements and programs that will work out the health and education which are currently unfolding in respect to the workplace integrated learning, learnership, as well as engagements with private sector. Health institutions. And Medicare has come forward in respect to opening up doors for the policies of students. So it's a matter of which respect to aspiration, there are about 5 universities in the country that have defined their programs to articulate regardless of what university colleges. So there's a lot of work in respect to articulation as well as web placement, which is currently happening. So we are not going to be left in a matter of
thank you, Shane and Tom Ronitas. My member asked about the performance and TDS qualifications. If you look at the NAICS qualifications in the National Certificates for Engineering Studies, there's been a great increase in improvement in certification rates. In terms of the actual numbers that participate in these programs, the numbers increased 600% between the 2012 and 2013 academic years. We were talking about increasing numbers at the impact of the system, 600% in all NAICS programs across 2012-2013, and then a further depending on which program, 15 to 35% across 2013 and 2014, just in terms of numbers participating in roles and writing examinations. For the engineering studies, the performance has improved across the years, and currently, if we look at our NC performance, it is generating 23,500 candidates, whose only percentage is on the screen there, 23,500 candidates, and for the two NCs, certificates combined, that's business studies and engineering studies, we're currently producing 24,000 graduates in view of the 49.8% and 14.1% for those two entries programs. In the NC, however, it's a different picture. We have seen an increase until the 2011 year, and which then saw the performance staying there and then decreasing across 2013 and with respect to the percentages in terms of numbers, that translates for NC level 4 into 7,600 graduates for the 2014 academic year. Thank you,
Jim. I think maybe should make it available to us. It's very difficult to read it from there.
Yeah, we'll provide it every time.
Mr. Patel?
Good morning, honorable members, and chairperson.
Good morning, Mr. Patel.
Okay. Now, just a detail that I go for. On the issue of clothing, we actually refer to protective care. It is absolutely essential for learners to be protected when they work in workshops, so whether it is for welding or working with even woodworking, that they have to have heavy duty work clothes. If they're working with in a metal workshop, they have to have steel toed boots. They need to have goggles when they're working with wood. Earplugs when they're working with heavy machinery. So that's the protective gear that we're talking about. Absolutely essential. Now, in regards to the NSFAS funded students, the issue is that we have to work within the available funding rather than to look at the number that's qualified. So we apply the means test, and then for the funds that are available are distributed. At the moment we cover about 50% of the funded learners. But however, what happens is practices at college stretches that to 25% of total learners, because those funds are shared. And one of the consequences of the over enrollment has been that colleges have been trying to manage the situation in terms of diluting the funding available for accommodation, for travel, as well as tuition. So we, the funds were sufficient to fund one student, and now funding one and a half student. If you look at the statistics of what we call the fiscal summit, which is about 450,000, versus those NCVs and nations that are funded by colleges. Now clearly they don't have their own pool of funds, but they are splitting, they're using the fiscal funds that are being received. Part of the problem around the over-enrollment has been the issue of the funding that in the earlier years was received from NSF and from CBIRS, that are project funds that end after a particular period. So the effect of underfunding definitely dilutes the amount available for travel, as well as accommodation. It really is not sustainable. I don't know if the members are correct when they say that it's concerning, this particular issue. And we have to do something about it. The funding for travel and accommodation does affect performance. Definitely will affect performance. The students are not in a conducive environment. If they don't have regular transport, they're not going to be able to attend class. I think, Honorable Bana, you're absolutely correct in your assessment that the system has to be structured from the bottom up. Because if we are able to find additional funds, we have to look at how best and at high quality we can use the limited regular resources. Because it is not only diluting the quality, diluting the productivity, and not producing the academic and the skills that we have. So generally, there's been an indication that now we come to this particular moment where you say you store in terms of numbers. That's the reality. We are able to create funds. Even we continue as we are and also begin to take on learners and further deteriorate the system, or we have to particularly like to bullet with what we have. So I think it's correct that we have rational and excellence. It's correct that the system has to be shrunk, but we want to manage it in a way. I want to go back because the issue of the MVP is always brought up. The whole MVP is premised on a growth rate of 5% economic growth rate. So if our growth rate changes in terms of our economy, then clearly those factors will have to be revised in terms of the economic growth. So yes, we are going to follow the formal processes in terms of the ministerial submission in regards to the revision of the targets. These targets were set out in the FGF, but it's an absolutely critical task. Now, I think I spoke about the support system. Students need to be in a safe, comfortable environment. They need to have enough food and accommodation. In regards to the accommodation, we spoke about the difficulty of us not having infrastructure as well as accommodation. And it is something that we have to begin to ensure that we begin to provide it ourselves in regards to that. Our long-term plan can only be to see efficiencies within what we have. So the issue number one is constraining the enrollment. Secondly, I'm already on 167 days in the government, but what I have found is that there's major efficiencies to be found in curriculum review prevention. The issue is, if you look at the NCV, the results, they're absolutely pathetic. You know, 3 years learners are passing, but also not in the regular time. And I think that particular curriculum on the NCV has passed itself by days. Because learners spend almost 80 to 90% of the time on seats and desks, not working with the hands, not working in workshops, not working in desks. So we just have to stop the fight. know, technical and vocational education is not rocket science. It is about thinking with your hands. And so we will have to, and that's why if you look at the makeup courses that will be phased out, I can't get any, and I'm more popular, and the class rates are actually better. Honorable Simon would be absolutely correct, it's disconcerting. And our aim really was to share what exactly is happening with the particular system. Absolutely the assessment will be sitting on the time bomb with these young guys. And that's why we think that we have a strategy in terms of taking a breather and making sure that we work with what we have. There can't be enrollment, unregulated enrollment in terms of college assistance. And I also believe that the sector is quite precious, equal to more than universities. We try to work as quickly as possible. We cannot work for the time frame. The QCTO and who are losing work, and we really need to accelerate that particular issue around the elements. Yeah, I think that's not all.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, honourable members. If there are any of your questions that have not been answered, please say so now. And doesn't look like that's the case. Honourable Mbatha. Thank you very much. I can attest to that. I've been there. I've seen it. So we must certainly go there as DG. Honourable members, I suggest that we, before we take the next presentation, let's just have a quick break and have something to drink and then some 5 or so minutes and then take the next presentation.
place pour de la chaîne. On vend tous les something going. Parliament is looking for you.
honourable members, let's proceed to the next presentation. DG, are you stopping or are you? And can you lift our mood now? Hope and aspiration. Slide again. The entry level of hope
and my trick grew by quite a bit. In other words, it's got energy, just a simple thing, and the price of the is very, very quality. Now, the young people who are jettisoned by the public school system, they then can increase rates and see the numbers are relatively more significant. Now, we have also observed in the system that there are little certain tables of handicap level 1. Now, a young person tries to retreat and they're not ready. And they have no qualification to speak of. And they go back and do the GCC, which is an equivalent grade 9. And these are the things we are looking at in the system. You have to see that. A young person at the age of 23, 24, they have no metric. And instead of insisting on getting a metric, because they don't have qualification, they go back and take the GCC. Because the schooling system does not have a qualification at regular. And only this system provides opportunity for at least a formal qualification, which can be recognized either at work or for whatever type of employment practice in the world. And when we look at this, over the 3 years, 2012, 13, 14, and only in 2012, the system hit 306,000. But that system, we hit that system because of the metric opportunities that the system offers. And I understand that here in the Western Cape, amongst other problems, there was a cautious decision taken that the people who want to do a metric relapse, they must go to this side. And so other provinces have followed. But that leader team of students has not been followed by that. Go to the center and they go by the way. Now, with this slide, this is the point I want to make. You have in 2014, 15,444 lecturers, the then called education, against a 262,680 students. The inefficiency is costly. That is the ratio of one lecturer to 17 students. One lecturer to 17 students. In the context of absolutely no sizable budget. And this is the task that we have to sort out, among other things, inefficiencies in the system. Now, I've already spoken to this, but I want to make the point that for this area to succeed, there's going to be a concerted effort on guiding people what is worth taking. You see, it may not be appropriate to say these figures, these enrollments are in the student preferences. These are not the study preferences, it is what is available. There is no choice. And this is why you have to create a space where there is diversity, where you can choose what you would like to, what you would like to do, and then just manage the inefficiencies in terms of trainer and the number of trainers vis-a-vis the number of trainees. Our other inheritance, it does go away for money. When you look at 2011, 12, 13, 14, the completion rates vary between 41% and 34%. Now, when you look at the graph, you will see that there are serial underperformance where the system is actually not moving. If notwithstanding the increase in pass rates or the decrease, the problem is serial underestimation levels. And when you look at how Kenya is one such, the Koko, Pumalan, Northern Africa, Northwest. It doesn't matter whether the improvement, there is an slight improvement or there is a decrease. Those provinces, and as a result, that is what is going to be inherited by the scholars as well. They're consistently underperforming. The system as a whole is underperforming, but you can say which provinces and therefore which colleges, community colleges are going to inherit this choice. Now, the second category is just by way of indicating how many were sent and managers at the time. Now we have sent and managers, we have a college principal. In other words, we moved away from center managers being the heads of centers. We continue to have center managers, but we now have police principals. Now, this slide tells you who is qualified and who is not qualified. If the benchmark is at a three qualification by plus a three-year qualification, basically it means the system is seeking about 40% of the lecturers being underqualified. And when we look at the total score for IQB head, which is your metric one, and the IQB level, which is your metric of 1 year qualification, metric plus 2 year qualification, and metric plus 3 year qualification. From 12 to 10, that constitutes about 40% of the teaching cost. In other words, not to say the other issues, even the lecturers in this space, particularly the serious problem lies in integration. The serious problem lies largely in largely rural provinces, where we find high concentration of underqualified lecturers in this space. This slide, in the context of what I just indicated, look at the program called Community Education and Training. In 2016-17. To deal with the challenges that this program is expected to deal with, we might have to source more funding through whatever means, because at the moment, of that 2.06 billion, about 85% of it goes to compensation. And 5% is the only thing that is transferred to the centers. And as a result, even those people who you are trying to teach to learn to read the Bible, you can't afford for all of them the material they can use to read the Bible. Because that 98 million, if you split it amongst 3,276 centers. When you look at the transfers, look at the line item called Community Education and Training Centers. This year the allocation is 98 million, and then you have to divide that amongst 3,276 centers. It becomes close to nothing, and therefore this center can't buy anything meaningful to offer community education and training. For this center to survive, you have to be perpetually looking for partnerships, because the fixtures have nothing to offer for it. I'm sure you're familiar with this slide. To get an invitation to this committee, with regard to expense, I would suggest that 14.7% for community education. And that I can explain with the following slide why that is the case. It is so because CEG colleges, if we're not able to spend any allocation, because it was not transferred
It was not transferred to them because there has been no expenditure in the previous years, because the procurement for tea recording is does not in all instances belong to IDEA. And so with no transfers among them, since transferred 50% of it to those tea recordings which has been divided for the previous year. The procurement for this community college, because the community colleges do not meet the requirements of the TFND in terms of processing their data. Therefore, we have to find an institutional mechanism which can do procurement for them. So we therefore transfer funds for these community colleges to some private colleges, so that the community colleges can procure through the private colleges. And what happens when we inherited this function and we transferred funding to private colleges, there are no expenses. And then we have been pushing this year to deal with the expenditure on previous year, and then we will transfer the funds for this year, which is what we have done. That is where the bottom line is.
You want to, I'm confused. I think what you must do is you explain this when you came with your quarterly report. I think just take us through the text.
Okay.
And start with what the law requires, which is not there at the moment, and therefore you now have to put the money wherever.
Okay. In terms of the TFNA, in order to transfer public funds to an institution, you must comply with the requirement that set out, which say you have proper financial control environment and you have proper supply chain policies and you have proper governance policies in place. Now, notwithstanding the fact that we established community colleges, these systems for financial management are not yet there. And therefore, what we did was to enter into a memorandum of agreement with some private colleges so that we transfer the money to them so that they can procure on behalf of, but the community college submits what it needs for each center, and then the team college is then procured and distributed. And that is what happened. Now, when we inherited the function, then the team college themselves were not familiar with this kind of analysis, and that was the 15-16 by the person spent. And therefore, once we have spent the 15-16 budget, and then we have then now transferred 50% of the 16-17 budget to the human colleges, so that they can continue to procure on behalf of community colleges. So the expenditure that you see, which is 16% in the previous slide, was more on compensation rather than on goods and services. Now, recently, CSSA published a general household saving, which for the system means the following. 1.7 million people who have no formal schooling, and we're talking about people who can no longer go back to school. They are over the age of 20 and above. 3.7 million who have some primary schooling and they can benefit from the system. And 1.6 have completed primary schooling and they also can benefit from the system. And they are 64%, 12.07 of the matriculant. In other words, the people who do not have matriculant
that Eli has a great chance at 11, but has no specified position. In other words, when you look at the whole number, in total it's about 18 members who needs to be served by this system, and compare that with the budget allocation just numbers. We will just prepare it like David for having in his heart to build the temple. Because it is in our hearts, we want to do it, but the fiscal limitation of everything, even if we sort out the limitations, is not possible to address a network of 18 million people. Even if you were to diversify programs and try to offer different programs, that would still require funding. It would still require qualified lecturers, anyway. And it would still require lecturers to be paid, because we are not going to get people who are unqualified to go into this space, otherwise you are cooking up the cost of the unfortunate. Honorable Chair, what do you want to do? Based on the policies and legislation of government from number 1, 2, 3, 4, based on those, we have developed a policy which is underpinned by the following principle. We want to make sure that however much of the system we are able to deal with, but is underpinned by the principle of social justice. In other words, education, including basic education, is a right. However, those people, the 1.7 of them, who are over 20, they have not enjoyed this right. And that's why one of the things we have taken into account is the issue of social justice. Now, in the policy on community colleges, we have said it is going to be difficult for us to run community colleges outside the municipal and community agenda. In other words, we have to link communities and community learning centers to the projects of municipalities. You can continue to offer general education, but those who do not need general education we must engage with municipalities as to what kind of programs could be offered to respond to the needs in a particular community. In other words, in this system, we do not want to come with a viable solution. We want to determine what the problem is specifically in a local district or in a local municipality, and then be able to do community college, they must be able to respond. The community college can respond through this community learning center. In other words, the program we would like to implement must be driven by what is happening in those communities, what skills, what are the economic drivers in that community, and then you offer progress in that respect. And that's why I was saying one of the principles in this space also is the principle of partnership. To partner with the local economic drivers like the industry and employers, and to bring on board individuals, because particularly if there is, for instance, a need for training of bricklayers. In that space is the construction system, which must go and partner with the community college with a view to develop that kind of scheme. In other words, this sector is not likely to survive on its own without building partnerships. In many communities, there is in districts and in municipalities, there is a plan for developing those communities. And hence we are saying community colleges must be agencies for the developmental agenda. In other words, the community colleges must drive the agenda of community development. And in other words, all the government projects, for instance, they are projects driven by the rural development, there are projects driven by social development, there are projects driven by health. in communities, and we are saying community colleges must be hubs of these activities and drive this project to diversify from the formalistic system of this IWC or the GECC or functional research college. Now, when we took over, we established the 9 community colleges. Please note, in terms of airtime enrollment, these 9 are going to inherit those centers together with their baseline enrollment, which I indicated at the time when we took over, it was around 262,000. And the numbers on the extreme right with respect to the establishment of the college and the notice in which the college established in 2005. Now, I referred to 3,176 centers. They were established in terms of this cadet and they were subsumed under this project. For instance, the Congo has 779. And look at Hauteng. Hauteng has 47. Because the Hauteng one is a three-layer one. That is a community college, that is a community learning center, and there are satellites in communities. And in our attempt to rationalize the number of the centers to a lower number, and that's the approach we think is going to be deal with inefficiency. College or colleges under which we have community learning centers, and then in specific communities, you cluster satellites under a community learning center. As a result, we have more satellites than actual community learning centers, and the current policy. We said at least we can have in each district we could have a community college, but we did not put the target in terms of the years. But we firmly believe that to locate community colleges in municipalities is likely to be far much more efficient in terms of community colleges giving community programs rather than offering programs which have been prescribed where people don't know what communities need. Now, this basically refers to what's currently in our heads in terms of modeling. Our heads in, we want to say, continue offering general education to attract people to need. And at the same time, create space for high occupational qualifications, create space for short paths. Occupational qualification for people who need, in other words, create space for skills. Now, we also are thinking that there are programs which really do not require certification by communities need them. For instance, HIV awareness, to be trained in HIV awareness, you necessarily don't have a certificate, but it is a community program. Now, one side, for instance, would be work education. And one side program, in other words, when you look at things in the communities and then you develop a program, or you, as a community college, invite a service provider to render services to develop the community, because not all the programs may be offered by the college, but once the college has identified the need for a program in the community, it either offers the sources, the service provider to come and train communities in areas where the communities need training. And this is what's in our head conceptually. Now, when we say to principals and counselors, it's one thing to convene an individual, but principal, it's not a good idea to convene an individual because individuals by their nature are political space. But we would like to have a principal who can read. We would like to have a counselor who can read. And say, if the general household says in this country there are 1.7 million people who can go to school, then principal in the Western Cape would say,
in the Western Cape, what is the nature of the problem, and in which district municipality. Now, as a result, you might find that when the diversification, some centers may not be proper literacy programs, or because there may be no literacy issues, and as a result, you scale up and offer other programs which are specific to their kind of municipality. The individual colleges have to align themselves to the provincial growth and development strategy. What is the agenda of the province in terms of developing the province? And secondly, each province has got a usually updated for the current provincial declaration is in what area of development is the province depressed, and then deal with it as a community college without Pretoria society. And that's why we're establishing councils to take such decisions. In other words, of importance when you offer programs, you must understand from a literature point of view, from the demands presented to as a community college as to what the community needs instead of you prescribing. And as a result, the variety of programs offered in the community space, they will be as varied as communities need. Now, as indicated, we are going to continue offering formal education. We want to, and this is why we are offering. And secondly, occupational programs such as plumbing, carpentry, and bricklaying, and non-formal programs which are basically linked to that which the community has developed, such as community development work programs, the EPWP programs, and so on and so on. And we are saying community colleges must take over this space and run with it as we conceptualized in the previous paper. We are strengthening councils, we are building up councils. The process of appointment of councils is almost is nearing the end. All provinces have, all colleges have submitted their all additional members which the minister must concur. And then thereafter we concentrate on the management. The slide just shows how the councils are proposed in exactly the same manner as in the civic space. And the second slide indicates we have made recommendations to the principal to the minister to appoint substantively the principal of colleges, and we have advertised the post of deputy principals with the view that both councils and management are in place substantively by the time we start 2017. The slide indicates what I've just mentioned. Now, by the members, the management itself, we inherited a system which has no language in terms of regulating. And now to stabilize the system, you must first agree how we are going to regulate it by creating regulatory frameworks. And that is until the following page are the regulatory frameworks that we are establishing. The target for this year, and I think 2017, is to start to put these regulatory frameworks while we are maintaining the system. And also while we are moving the system from what was to what we conceptualize the system. That's purely first to regulatory framework. And now, in closing, the level of capacity in colleges, we think it's a transitional problem. That is a problem that we are going to be able to deal with. We inherit that problem together with inheriting the system. And that also talks to performance management and development systems, and I think that's still a consistent problem. But your fundamental problem arises from inadequate funding. The payment of salaries of lecturers. You see, if we were to take, if we were to realize, see, standardization of lecturer conditions of service,
At the moment, we continue to pay their charges in the manner that we have them. In other words, currently, a lecturer in Gauteng is treated somewhat differently than a lecturer in KZN, because there were different funding frameworks, and when we took them home, we maintained the manner in which they are funded until we developed a funding framework for the system. Amongst the policy instrument, the funding framework for this system is one of the focus areas which is being dealt with by the task team. One of the things which compromise quality in this space is lack of infrastructure, we are using schools. And therefore, what does this mean? It means when the school closes in the afternoon, and then the adults, then as the young people, then go in there. And therefore, they don't get the full 8 hours, the full 7 hours as required by the program. They get either 2 hours of training or 3 hours. And even if we had space, we would not afford to pay lecturers on an 8 out of 8 basis. We have submitted this to try to say, even if we did have space, this is the quantum of amount we need. For those centers, for instance, in Kaohsiung, where they have office space, but because of the budget limitations, you can't be able to pay on the basis of the income. Before we inherited the functions, the MSU said it's a very good thing to standardize the conditions of lecturers, but we don't have money. And that situation is still with us now. The point I made earlier about 98 million, that 98 million can't buy the teaching and then material which is required by the students. We just can't afford it. I'm not putting time on teaching and learning for lecturers and students, that's why I just explained. The poor performance I've just indicated, that is the work, that's the conundrum that's facing us, we must confront it. The diversity of program is the lack of diversity, is the, and responsiveness is one of the conundrums that we're dealing with. Human resource capacity, in the Eastern Cape, for instance. When I met meeting them, they said they do not have capacity to support centers in the region. There is only the regional manager and the principal. While, whereas here in Western Cape, there is capacity at district level to support centers. And the Eastern Cape and the problem, there is no less capacity. A strange situation I found in the report was about close to 20 officials who are employed by the DVD are put aside to support this function, but they are not all of them. Because in the report of this function, there was no one who was exclusively dedicated to support other districts. They were led to support schools, and now they continue to do us a favor to provide us with human resources to support centers, but in a sense, we do not have support for centers in provinces like Limpopo and in provinces like the Eastern Cape. My colleague misspoke, did allude to the fact that the department has absolutely no capacity to manage the examinations that we inherited together with the system. We are not. And hence, our delivery machines will say, please, let's ask the minister to again engage and the DG to engage with the SGs and the minister of the MCs to extend the protocol so that examinations continue to be run by provincial education department until such time that this program is giving enough quality, both program 4 and program 6. Are giving enough capacity to run that credible examination. A new phenomenon which has just come to my attention is that one of the deterrents now to address the young people is preventing the system. That is the continuous inability
of the center has been State Information Technology and Engineering. If you bring the GDTC for the 5 years, CETA still is unable to combine the subject in English again. This is a challenge. I've just found out that only a few provinces have certified their learners, but there are quite a number of learners which remain without certificate. I think it's an issue which we must take with CETA as well. This has already been dealt with regard to which are HR challenges with regard to the same problem with the Chile colleges. The DGD indicated that the Minister has established a task team to develop a plan for implementation of the water treatment. That task team has got such task team. The task team we are working with as a branch is the task team on community education and training courses. We know that they have created a framework on which they are going to advance, and that is why we try to align work pretty closely with them so that by the time they recommend to the minister, they have not completely grown as great and we start from scratch. But these are the issues that they raise that we must take into account when we continue to develop those policies. Thank you very much, Chair. And wonderful.
Thank you very much for the presentation, honourable members. That's the community colleges. Any takers? Honourable Tafim, Bozoli, Mbata, Mtunu, Kekana, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I've got a number of concerns, Chairperson, that has been by the conference. I know the first one was raised in previous engagements, and it pertains to that are taking place by educators within the UK. We have individuals who are earning a salary from the Department of Education and educators at schools that would also then be employed as teaching colleges. And the department has said that the time was trying to minimize this phenomenon. I want to know what progress has been made in this regard. I understand that there is a shortage of skills as far as educators are concerned in the sector. But, I mean, we also can't have individuals earning two full salaries. Perhaps negotiations with regard, given if people are required to work after hours in the PC, we could find ways to save money and to further stretch what's already limited resources and funding in general. The second question is as relates to those who are un- or underqualified, the percentage of around 41% of current educators that are employed by the department. My first question is, how does this come about? Because, you know, the employment practices by the various colleges, so to speak, surely, if I'm someone that has only completed a trip, I'm not qualified to teach others in basic competencies. How do I then become employed in the system? And secondly, what exactly is the plan to ensure that we don't have a situation where we have the blind leading the blind, so to speak? Because as it stands, even within our current basic education systems, we have educators that do not pass the test that they take for their learning. Is there a set of standardized tests for these educators based on the curriculum that they are expected to teach so that we can verify whether or not we have fit and capable people for our people to learn these competencies, whether it be your basic competencies of language and mathematics, whether it is your skills, competencies, carpentry and plumbing was mentioned, for example. Surely there should be some sort of system to have a department so that you can ensure that this is not an employment scheme for friends to just come in and currently and they're not able to meet the mandates, which is a really expressed mandate that currently should. Those are my two questions for now.
Next.
This question seems to be totally unviable as standard for them. But I do admire the commitment to annual ambition for it, which I think is appropriate. But it doesn't seem to be viable. I'm just wondering whether we want to look into a bit of fantasy here. Are the experts going to have new courses and wonderful new teachers and everyone's going to be trained? But you don't actually have the money for it at all. I mean, it's much worse than the teaching. So, what's the plan? I mean, you can't go on and on and on having ambitions for something if those ambitions cannot be met. So surely, I mean, DG would contribute to you that there has to be some solution now. Or the system has closed. But you can't go on and on living in this dream world of making a wonderful system out of nothing. So I wonder about that. And then my second point is, we're always hearing about how much money is spent in basic education. It's the biggest amount in the world, and we spend more on basic education than anyone else. Whereas we know that in higher education, we spend less than anyone else. Why is the system placed in higher education? It's quite very difficult to do higher education. Most of the people that don't have any schooling or a look at the screen, your biggest class are people who can't rewrite matrix. Why is basic education basically not funding the system rather than poor old higher education, which can barely fund existing programs that don't make a new one? Thank you.
Bata?
Managing or manages well to
to an extent that they give somebody can give you credit for it. And all justifications going forward are validated, and hence the money will come through. Now, when you achieve the goal of the society, free from that, meaning the society being free and right, we achieve it by 2022, or you achieve it by 2030. That's my question.
Honorable Vikram.
So I just wanted to know about the community colleges, with residential infrastructure. I did raise this one before that we see so many empty buildings that began to happen, and now they are under public works because we know public works is the custodian of government assets. Now, when we build new buildings, and there are so many empty buildings, there are quoted post offices, that when the mall is built, the whole post office moves into the mall and the post office is empty. And those are several in a lot of places. I'm just trying to find out whether your spokesman through department has contacted public works and see what can be contacted there. Because you just reckon that there's a lot of wastage with what is there, why we need this. And you know, you can't do anything because the community keep on saying, give us this building, we want to do some community work. But because it's still under public works, it has to stay empty. So discussing with public works in order to see whether this can be converted into community projects.
Thanks. Followed by Honorable Shirela. Sorry.
I think we all agree on the importance of the community colleges. But more things began with regards to the recognition program by the Constitution in order to reduce the debt rate. We tend to think everything when they really go to higher education. Especially for the young, because those are the
most problematic, and those are the ones that we need to worry ourselves. I thought this one has been very complicated and complicating the entire thing, and it will make us not able to obtain anything because we are just thinking of it too much. In terms of, you have explained this one that you're speaking their operating with the children quality. If there is a plan of regulation that so that they are able to be self operated by the yeah, able to operate by themselves, yeah. And another thing is the importance of the headcount. With this, with community equality, it goes back to what Honorable Kadu was saying. There are people who might want to end two salaries, and then with fake numbers, to say these are the number of learners that I have in this particular center, of which that is not true, because they just want to create employment themselves. So we must be careful that we are not just taking ourselves wasting money because some of the centers are not really having the numbers that we thought they had, we think that they had. I would have also suggested that, looking at what we are saying, because we are saying that in our times we are being affected by this social challenges, unemployment, inequality, and poverty, in order to try to contribute in reducing unemployment, really, can't we look at the unemployed graduates and ensure that these people who are working, we don't give them too much. Let's try to identify people in that particular area, because if we have been finding, we must try to run a more efficient system where we are able to say, let these people come up so that we can be able to identify in which areas can take them so that we give them jobs in this area, not to just take for granted that because these are people in the school, then, okay, it will also be very like critical of the school. You are also a principal of an undermanaged patient center. So I don't think that this is why we've got such high unemployment in our country. And I was also covered by what was said by Honorable Minister, really on investing more in infrastructure. I don't know that one if it's wide enough, because we have got a lot of underutilized college, teacher training, those people, teacher education colleges, go to Kumalala College, Hamasin. You just think that, is this something must be done? I think those programs could be taken to such areas. Lomualala, you're necessary, teacher must say, you're the mission, yes, we go to the colleges, but if you go there during working hours, you realize that those are not used to full capacity. There are classrooms that could be used as this center. So I think more work should be done on trying to identify areas in the previous teacher education colleges and other buildings as well for the department, as Honorable Kekana has suggested, rather than investing more on the question.
Thank you, Chairperson. I also wanted to speak to slide number 9, particularly with reference to the teachers, those that are teaching in the community, colleges and so on. And also coupled that with the perennial for the teacher and that's the problem. I need to say that obviously if you have got teachers who are either underqualified or unqualified, the performance, the output is also very relations like when I was in Kuru, Paris, as I said, maybe we should start on those ones that are just under control, like identifying those that are graduates and first jobs and children to participate in the community colleges elsewhere. But then the other issue that I would like to raise is this system of community education, is it here to stay in the light of the fact that we spend more on the basic education of others, then the education will continue to be positive individuals into the system as well. Maybe in the spirit of intergovernmental relations, then basic education should also be conscious of trying to do more, not to do what is more students. At a certain point, we should reach a situation where we are saying that applicants are literate. And in that way, we will be able to say that we are making progress in education, our nation, which is very important. Because, you know, if there are so many things happening, you are told people that are not right, you are unable maybe to make your own judgment, because of the level of your education. We do agree that indeed education should be based on the principle of social justice, that everyone has a right to eat and it should be given to them. But then if people are given that opportunity to serve them, they must use it. Because otherwise, we are going to spend twice on the basic education, while the person was invested in education drop out, and then we still have to go ahead and spend on the basic education in the community.
Before you answer the questions, I think, honourable members, this is probably one of the reasons why we should confer with the NCLP committee on this matter, because this issue is very much community-provincial driven. And from the counterpart in the NCLP, their engagement on this, and we might be able to get a little bit more assistance here. I think what we are worried about, DG and the other officials, we are worried that it appears that there's a lot of time, money, energy spent on administration. It's not that it's not important, it's important. But I would agree with the members that there aren't any more creative ways within this space to discuss how do we do that. So for example, the members are right when they say that in a community, surely if we start something, we should know what is there and what isn't there. And instead of starting something new, there would be a discussion with whoever about what is existent in the community. Because we just never ever have the money to build these centers around the country, and I don't think it would be correct for the committee to then divide its energy towards something that's not going to happen tomorrow. So when you say to us the problems that you are facing, can you juxtapose that against those things also? That, you know, it has been exhausted or it has not been exhausted at all, so that I think we have an informed decision that we can make against the relevant information that has been given to us, that all avenues have been exhausted and this is the net result of it. I don't think we are convinced of it yet, because most of the members attest to the fact that we have to, as the member said, you know, we've got to exercise a little bit more intergovernmental relations here. I'm afraid that if somebody has to lead this, so even if you take the money from basic education, somebody has got to lead it. Currently the laws is you have to lead it. And so unless that changes, at the moment we will have to ask higher education, what are you doing in that regard? I think the program is a very great program in that it relates to government problems of how do we address the huge school dropouts that we have in the country and address the poorest of the poor where it matters in relation to the particular problems that they face in this area, communities, and do not have access to education in this regard. And so I don't think we should move away from that concept. It's a difficult one. But I think, you know, listen, then Minister Mann started this program in Mitchelstein. I'm sure some of you have seen it. And he gone around and spoke to the teacher and everyone else, and the program, they found a building in the Mitchelstein Town Center, and they invited the parents and everyone else in there. The program is existing still at the moment. Very many of the communities have gone in there, and every end of the year, big graduations about and so on. I'm pretty sure there are many of those examples around. I can tell you what I do in my own constituency at the beginning and at the end of the year, engaging with the relevant people in there. So I think that's what the members mean, that the idea is a correct one. What are the different creative things that can be done, as opposed to being bogged down by all these administrative problems, and we're not looking at the real issue, and that is what we want to achieve. More than that, maybe it will help from province to province if you can pilot some of the areas we might want to suggest and see what the outcome of that can be. Because if you want to take the entire population and squeeze them into something which is almost like the universities and so on, it's never going to happen because those are not the target markets. So I think the form which is done might have to be changed because you can't use the same format of the other kind of institutions. You're dealing with a different set of outcomes that you would want. And we don't hear you talking about, you know, you are instituting training, the trainers and all those things to overcome some of the other. These things don't cost you more money. They cost you in the system of how you deploy and redeploy people in it. The last thing that I want to say is that, look, we've seen a lot of examples in basic education where the change in population has affected the schools. So school buildings have become empty because the population in these different areas do not allow for the existence of the school because the population is growing older or population only having two children and therefore the classrooms are becoming emptier. I think it will help if you bring that information to us also, because South Africa surely has got that kind of information that seeks to what are the changing nature of the population of South Africa and how you can benefit as higher education. Again, that doesn't cost you extra money. It means you have the ability to communicate with others to see how the importance of this program can continue. DG and others?
No, thank you very much. Our mandate as a department is for education and training of everybody in the country. Those who have passed matric, those who have failed, those who dropped out, those who never went to school. That's what we need to address as a country, and that's what our mandate. And we are coming here to present a case in respect to how are we fulfilling this money and what sort of progress we have made as a sponsor. The challenge as presented to see not one dimension. We're talking about the entire sector, not the city, not Qatar, nothing. We studied this area, we researched, we investigated, we developed a blueprint in the city, how it should be. What is its state of affairs, but what then it should look like. It's a journey right at the beginning, but it's going to be very wrong. It will be wrong in the sense that we commission AG to assist us in making a determination of how the breakup is. AG came back and advised the department not to take a question. Official said, no, don't eat it. And I asked them why. They said, this is hell. Why is it chaos? It's a certain that didn't get attention from provincial government across the country. That AG arrived. Now, through the engagement, we put some tough questions. If that is the case, what then the threat is going to end up being? Who is going to attend to all these challenges? If distribution is what is obtained at the present moment, how do you see it being addressed and by whom? There was no answer to that. And then we took this responsibility, knowing quite very well what we are taking over. Because we have to answer the question as what we do with 18 million population that needs this service. What do we do? We are open for life. And we have a place. Not easy. 1.7 million recruits have never been to school. I suppose it meant that they will never be at school with the purpose of learning. Because they may have been there either for church purposes or attending a meeting and other activities.
Sure.
I said church services that to get convenient schools.
Okay.
Yeah. For a meeting. And that's why we give an express meaning by just saying when they are there, they have never been to school. It doesn't mean they have never been in the premises of the school for other activities or purposes. Either than going there, sitting kind of there. Knowing as well that this community has dropout rate in the school system, the core, is around 50% of the present. Those statistics are bad. We are mindful of the fact that if a huge task is going to take a very long time, to build it, so we're talking about building it, build it, so that it's able to respond to the needs of the country, of the population. With all the challenges that are there, in our group, it's something which is unavoidable. It's a habit. We have to face it. Now, I appreciate honorable members. The concerns that you are raising and the passion which you are raising and perhaps the failure that you see in raising these issues. But how much more to us because we live with this on daily basis. We go to each and every place, different, seeking to put up systems, structures in order to address this physical area. And we'll do our level best. I don't think say that in this regard the function is not. Would that help to calibrate at the time and address it? I know we talk about university to the college, forgetting at times that there's a huge section of the population which has been forgotten. They're not only abandoned at all, and this was 18 years old. They need life full. They are playing in this country. So it's something that we need to work on, and we would really appreciate the support out of the appreciation of the sense and the nature of the 15 challenges that are confronted this sector as it currently is at the present moment. I'll ask the monitor to come in to explain my information.
Thank you, Mr. Chief. During the month of September, we have actually, about that in September, we've been engaging with stakeholders in all the regions. The attempt is one to deal with unqualified and unqualified educators. We inherited them, that we have to find a way that a plan of how to deal with them. We have a draft document published by the Minister of Public Governments, which is the second office for the system. That enables you to set a benchmark in policy that who is qualified in this space. And also taking into account that being qualified in this space might be slightly different from being qualified for other education. Because this space includes other education, but it is not other education only. So basically, that would mean once we've concluded in terms of the policy, we have to come back to the control committee and indicate the progress made, particularly with how we're going to deal with those lecturers who we inherited without qualifications to teach in this space. Now, the issue, similarly with the issue of government, there are areas, if we were to, if we put it this way, there are teachers who can't employ permanent on person because they are already employed somewhere else. And then that leads to them being paid through the change system because you can't employ parts on the person system. And we've made a determination that if we were to withdraw the majority of the participants in the process of parenting, we have to be gradual with doing it because we are going to arrest the system of presidency. And therefore, it requires a process to deal with that. It is our capacity, not a problem we can deal with overnight. We acknowledge it is there. Professor Bozu, I think the issue of why dysfunction is in higher education has got to do with a presidential proclamation. We said Mr. Odo-Chen's mind that you are responsible for the administration of what we should call the Adult Education Act. And therefore, similarly, what we should call the Equity Policy Act. And then ultimately the process of migration function and national function and followed, but it was a presidential proclamation which was the right for. That's what the interest of members. You might have heard through the valuable speech of the Minister Mutaka that the program of Karikuja is coming to an end this year. That program has been selling people. Where do they go now? Is the question. give the expectation that those people are going to serve the ranks in the new community learning centers. The issue raised with the Treasury is the budget used for current courses got to be then moved to where the Department of Higher Education is heading, where this function of giving functional education is located. But so far, the response from the Treasury is not one of the most positive.
What do they say?
The response which I got was that they was something like project funding. It was project funding. It was not one of the basic education baseline. It was project funding from someone. And now, the next pertinent question is the quality of the curriculum products. They do come to our centers, community level centers. They need to be placed at other education levels. They need to be placed, but when we put them through a test of whether or not they must have the rudiments of level one, they are not finishing. Measures that we have to take them to the same problem again. But what begs the question is that the problem was not in the critical environment. What kind of interest will you achieve in 6 months? And because that's how kind of interest will operate. Taking through the program for 6 months, we will be there thereafter to other graduates. Now, reading the same text, such as in publication, about 15% of these people who already have completed grade 1 and secondary education, most of them are functionally illiterate. You encounter that when you go into classes and in this sector, they actually need to be taken back and retrained. But they've already gone through the system. Now, as a principal of the center or the principal of the college, it's going to be very difficult to change the mind. I said, we've already gone through an education to kind of think of it anymore. When Calcutta was started, it had a project timeline, but I can't remember, it was supposed to start in 2008, if I'm not mistaken, was doing an extension. But you still have about the initial rate in the country at the moment is around 4%. That is about 7% of the population who can read or write. And an additional 15% that I just talked to you about, which is functionally illiterate, they might have gone to school, but whatever population they would make our music. And they have appeared. Now, I'm going to respond to the question you are asking what is the target that the rest of our population uses? And this is a difficult question to respond because we know our students in Chinese people who are functionally illiterate anyway. And so you can this is the one question, some of them are still in school, they drop out, and they again become law profit. So it's a difficult question to answer. Honorable Kekana, I agree, and Honorable Mbombas, I agree. And that it is counterproductive to pursue, always to pursue new infrastructure, while they, when they are government buildings.
which can be used for this purpose. For instance, the old colleges of education. However, while we are getting there, we definitely have to check out the approach we take into getting more students. I had a discussion with the Chancellor of the Council of evaluating junior college, who occupies the college of former language. With the idea of doing infrastructure there, but we are not communicating. In fact, just about every children college principal, because I know also they don't provide the whole day. That is when there are no students, and at that point, we can use the space instead of building a new community for community. And we also are engaging with our college counselors. Identify more infrastructure in progress is where they come from. Not with the view of establishing community colleges, with the view of establishing learning centers. In other words, create more space for teaching and learning, for training, instead of creating more space for management departments. Because that is costly. If you put up a new college now with new management and a new government, we also have to expand this budget because the principal and his deputy are going to ask for the salary. And so in the case of the center manager. Point noted, Honorable Nkrumah, and I think I will do that next time. In the age profile of the 18 million. The 18 million in terms of the census which I took was its 20 plus. Then we will have to break down 20 plus to determine how many are 20 to 25, 26 to 35, and so on and so forth, and aggregate. And then determine who is our priority. I think the DGF responded to the question in terms of the money of the department. In relation to your question whether this is here to stay or the transitional value. And finally, we also do think, even though we have started here in the Western Cape, we asked the regional office and the college council to look in schools which have been vacated by the Department of Education here in the same thing, so that we can make use of additional time. And the approach applies also to other regions and other provinces. We are interested more in the existing infrastructure. We really, at this stage, do not have appetite for building new infrastructure. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Anyone else?
Now, I just want to indicate about, I think the issue is that as far as adult education or community education training is concerned, it would really be a travesty if we don't deal with the ones that serve many people that haven't been to school. And so the fact that we took on the challenge of taking on the sense of the provinces so that we will be able to do justice to this issue. Now, what I found very, and this is helpful when we have a lot of these historical knowledge changes. California was meant to deal with place functional limits. I must tell you, I was just surprised that Dr. Plogo, where we were told that it's coming to an end. And I said, well, any objectives of literacy being reached in California, do we have 100%? And he also heard that the project had targets when it came to an end. But it's fine that we accept that particular notion. That if the project will come to an end, but what else do we want? The perverse issue is that the money has been absorbed into other functions. And we are told in the Department of Higher Education, actually, we are not supposed to be in literacy, but it is a function of the Department of Higher Education. And as honorable members have properly indicated, that when a function moves, there's some components were needed particularly more. So I hope you accept us in the proposal, but it may be that it's a tripartite issue with the proposal from the basic education, as well as the sex from the education of the education. We discuss the issue of where we do we go with the policy issue or the issue of literacy. The other area is there may be some light at the end of the tunnel, because I know that if verification is going to use it for second chance, that means if they use it for the under 18s or under 50, then at least we can locate some of those young people that are within our system that is up to the age of 18. And but at least that we do it in a plain way so that before they came for a basic education, we can release some of the funding to be able to deal with the functional literacy, but also we must not forget community education training in regards to bricklaying, plastering, baking, etc. A simple skill that are not in year long to provide our communities with those essential survival skills. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for that. A quick follow up. And then let's conclude on Bozoli.
Thank you, Chair. What are the implications of the fact that the Auditor General said do not take on this function, but you did take on the function? What's the significance of that? It sounds to me like almost reticent to take on a function that the Auditor General has told you is not desirable. The second point is just much more than which you mentioned in your presentation on community colleges that you were worried about the teacher-pupil ratio. What is the problem with the teacher-pupil ratio? Is it just, did you say it? I think you did. Yeah. If you could just clarify that. Thank you. So first of all, though, surely somebody must have treasury or the president or department or somebody, if the Auditor General says it's not right to take on this country. And yet, that is right to get ignored. Thank you.
I note Honourable Kathleen Sands and I note Honourable Kimmel Sands.
Thank you,
Jefferson. Jefferson,
can you
come on?
Thank you. I'm sorry, convinced that this function should actually be done under education. And I'll tell you why. Because, first of all, I mean, there's nothing that says basic education is only for those under a certain age. There's nothing that says that has to be the case. So it's about the type of education that takes place. Secondly, it seems to me that we then fall into a very dangerous territory where you add more layers of communication and you should take place between different departments and work that comes with a lot of redundancy as well. Because surely the teaching materials that are available within basic education, a lot of it can be used for those that have not seen the school, that do not have the necessary competencies as far as literacy, etc. is concerned. And therefore, that can be used as well to teach our communities, whether it's after hours, whether it's on weekends, whether it's on facilities. And lastly, basic education still retains the budgets, which I believe is about 1/5 of our spending. And yet, this is sort of just something that comes from the doorstep of higher education and training. And, you know, now we say, okay, maybe that's a good idea to separate this lot from that lot and big this lot to basic education and then next takes up another lot. And would it not just be more efficient if the entire program was run where it's relevant to be actually run? And I understand that it's just been taken from provincial issues. And I'd be interested to learn what the issues are thereof. And it doesn't mean just because they were injected in the past by the provincial education department that it necessarily means that's not where it belongs. Because all that means is that the provincial education departments were allocated and failed in their mandate. And so, for example, if something like economic science and technology belongs there, and they are failing their mandate, and it's just come from higher education because there's a war from the officials of the higher education department to get it done better. So that's my comment that I want to make.
Thank you.
Thank you. For me, I think community policies are not only about other issues. So I think maybe we need to be informed, maybe one day we can get a presentation as to what is really happening in community education policies, because the general assumption is that you can other education, whereas it's not, there are so many different things that have been taught in this community education collection. So my comment initially was for you to be on the mobility program. Our communities, our people, do not also know that we have a similar comment to what Honorable Catherine is saying, because they assume that if you speak community colleges, you speak adult education. So we need more marketing programs so that people can know what is happening and be able to get assistance from those colleges. Thank you.
A quick response there, DG. I think you've heard also that there's a lot of suggestions that have been made on what should be the next kind of presentation made to the committee, so they have to answer all of them, and maybe just go back and absorb the things that the committee has said, and we must then see how we approach this, because this is no different from other departments that have similar projects at a particular level. Because if there is a problem that we can shift it wherever we want to, I don't think that's going to assist us. If the world and the attitude is bad towards it, then your problem is not going to be solved. I think all of that must be taken into consideration, because I see the same pattern here with the same objectives that we have, where it matters for certain groups of people in our society. The enthusiasm is very different. And if we don't address that, you can just create all sorts of things that's not going to have any movement. And so I think that's the first thing, in my view, that has to be addressed. Did you?
I think that the intention of what is and a group in the sector has to establish the state of affairs of the sector with the view of giving the department an empirical evidence of how the sector is, how it is structured, how it is functioning currently, of which that they need. And based on that, they then made that suggestion. However, it acknowledges the importance of the sector and its need insofar as it is made available to South African parties. Now, we have then to reconcile the two and work out plans as how this importance and how this need then can be realized. That's not what it is. Secondly, the studies that we conducted came out with quite important findings. That one, if you have never been at school, what becomes important is a question of generality and morality.
Mm-hmm.
And see, because you can't teach people just REEOO and 1, 2, 3 and that's the end, you know, of the work that you need to do. Beyond that, how do they use this literacy and numeracy
in acquiring a skill. Then this goes together. You can't separate it. So that's the importance of the skill community. Literacy, numeracy, and skill. CT. So this is very much important. And we acknowledge that getting there is not going to be easy, but we need to start somewhere and build from there system. For that matter, sir, even renowned universities at the present moment, they never started as universities. Many of them started as small colleges, you know, some. They started as a mining college. But where it is today is one of the renowned universities across the world. So I think this sector helps the opportunity for opportunities to start and to develop. And we are very much determined in fulfilling that mission.
With regard to the lecturer student relation, my concern was not just the comparison of the numbers. The concern stems from the fact that with the lecturers, the numbers we have, we can actually go on. At the moment, it's 1 to 17. We actually can be able to, with the number that we have, can be able to do more 25% at the moment, given the physical space in this government. That's the problem. I think that the one for the other president in the country is what is by another development with regard to other education is part of a variety of programs in another result. You can't supply the materials from the used by basic education and use them in civic space. And also, giving people as a mass moment the credibility of mathematics in the civic system as going to completely different from the annuality for dealing with adults.
I want to appeal to committee members not to bother themselves to word conversation related so much. Because as Dr. Makabo was presenting, he said most of the sentences here were deleted. Now in this is from where? Now if you want to take this question back again, this will be challenged. So, So, you need to use the challenges as a way to say that I think it's necessary. These are the challenges. And the department is essentially even going further to reach what I said before, the chief of students and so on. So, maybe the question is what the challenges are.
Thank you very much. I wanted to end there. That's mind worth speaking that has come through the ranks of everything else in this EJA is now. That's why you're saying what you're saying. Honourable Ozo, a small point always become a big one. A clarification.
Please put it into the market. It's just what I said. I understand the requirements of basic education have a lot more money than this department. And for it to hand over something that becomes responsible from the central department to this department, which has far too little money, is our fit. That's what I'm saying. They somehow manage to get treasury to give them money for everything they want. And this department does not. So working very well, and the department can't really enforce it. So there's in no language I'm saying she has this, or not a wonderful thing to do. If it was this department, it's so stretched that forever I have additional and more additional questions, is not rational. When for some reason, clearly we love basic education, but does not like our education, and therefore that's where the money is at.
I'm sure that point is digital.
No, we are not focusing on the comment that starts on the beginning.
Yeah.
We relate more on the way going forward in the
And that's why we should meet with the NCLB and basic education so that we can, Honourable Bozoli, get around all of these things. Now Honourable Bata has been. Okay, they brought agreement amongst around the room on the approach that we need to take, and I'm pretty sure DG Group passion is amongst everyone in saying we can't give up on this one, we simply can't give up, we have to do more on what we have done. But we must thank the department for their commitment in this and the other area of the service. And the presentation that you have given to us, I think there's a lot that we will have to discuss how do we move forward on both of these areas, because we think they too remain important. You can't have in the department a disequilibrium of the one there and the other one remains a bit of sick and so on. And the balancing of everything and everyone that needs to be served is what we're going to look forward to. We will indicate to you what are the other matters that we would want to discuss with you in these two matters, and maybe change the focus to something else based on what you have told us here today, and what would be the rest of the things. But for now, may we thank you very much, DG, and your team, for always bringing very detailed presentations to us. We appreciate it very much.
Oh, thank you.
Honourable members, it is 10 after 1. I am always very careful to stand between a hungry lion and moving forward with the agenda, the rest of the agenda. Let me just say, honourable members, the agenda, the remaining part of the agenda that we have here, are minutes of the 24th and the 31st, which I really would encourage you to deal with. The other matter that we also have to deal with is the oversight program for next week. And then, honourable members, the rest of the agenda points or the draft workshop, you need to indicate if you have gone through this one. If you have gone through this one and your response is to it, equally so on the briefings of the from the universities, if you've gone through it and suggest to us how do we move forward on it. I am saying that what we have to get out of the way today is obviously I think it would be good if we can deal with the minutes and if we can certainly deal with the oversight program. Honourable Kassim.
And in the past, the previous meeting, in fact,